What's up, everybody? Welcome to the RSA podcast. My name is Arsenio Mash. You can follow me on Instagram at RSAYSR, or you can follow the podcast page at RSA podcast. Today, I got Ben Hunter with me coming in. He's not here yet, but he's coming. Today, I got Ben Hunter with me, and he is a UK rapper. He's got a hot-ass song out right now called I'm So UK. He's a young man in his early 30s, so I'm hoping that he, we can talk about some music. From what I understand, he's big into psychedelics. So we're going to talk about psychedelics probably, that's how we do. I'm moving the camera just a tad. There we go, because I want to do that. All right, so before we get into the show, before we start doing anything, with Ben Hunter, I wanted to record this, and I just wanted to let y'all know that things are going real well for me, and I really appreciate everybody that listens, to my patron, Tony T, I want to say thanks to him especially. I set 2020 out to have one patron, by the beginning of 2021. There we go, got one. It took a year. And there's only one way to go from here, man. And it's always up. So, if you like what I'm doing, you think I'm a cool dude, or you like my content, you can go to patreon.com/8blocksentertainment. And there's two tiers there. You got $3 tier, you got a $5 tier. You choose, and you can also pledge any other amount. No big deal. And with that, you'll get exclusive access. You'll be part of these conversations. I'm gonna make it so that you can join and watch live, because lately I've been putting them on Facebook. I'm not gonna be putting this one on Facebook too quick. We'll hold off on this one. I'm probably gonna do some editing. There's some stuff that I want to do before I go back live. Although I am gonna go back Friday nights. I go live. If you have something to promote, you got a podcast that you want to come on and you want to promote, every Friday night starting at 6 p.m. I'll be doing Facebook Live at facebook.com/rsapod. From there, you can even, put in your comments and stuff like that. I usually upload the Zoom link. So if you want to come on and join and on the Zoom, that's awesome. You can do that in person. You'll be on Facebook Live and you'll be promoting your podcast. So should be fun. So back to Patreon real quick. Not only do you get access to the conversations in real time, but you also, you get blogs, you get exclusive photos, videos, a lot of the stuff that, I'm building up for patrons is starting, now. I mean, it has started, and but now that I have at least one, I want to make sure I give exclusive content, exclusive access, and be the first, y'all the first ones to get it. So we got some good stuff coming up. Ben Hunter is coming on today. We got Zach Barney coming on, the Soulful Poet. I got Keith Snyder coming on from the Anxiety About Anxiety podcast. That's going to be fun. I'm interested in seeing that. That's supposed to be Friday, I believe. So, both of those are going to be recorded on Friday. So we'll see how that goes. So it should be fun. It should be real fun. So if you can, I'm having a problem with my RSS feed at the moment. So if you're listening to this, thank you. You found me. Spotify, I'm only able to upload to Spotify. I've changed my RSS feeds for the other hosts, but for some reason it doesn't seem to work. I think it has to do with my bus route, but we're working on that. I also did a podcast with Will Negron. He is the owner of Will's Place and Hit the Spot Kitchen. Yeah, he's a good dude. Went over there, had some had some food. They cooked some food. We had a little deep conversation, more like about, you know what I'm saying, religion and psychedelics and you know, cannabis. And you know, had a good time. I felt like I was home there. Did it feel like we were? I think I was there for like 2 hours, and we did a little tour of his kitchen, and you know, kind of showed his menu a little bit. So you know, it was pretty cool. It's different for me. I ain't going front. You know, I'm so used to being in my bubble, which is here. But you know, I as I'm editing now and going through it, it seems you know, like I think I might have something at least somewhat. something. I got something. So that should be coming out soon. That'll be on the YouTube channel. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, A Blocks Entertainment, RSA Podcast on all major flat platforms. And follow me on Instagram, you know. Hopefully it's gonna be fun once Ben Hunter comes in. So we're waiting on that right now. And next time you see me, you know, before I forget, this episode is brought to you by Retreat CBD. Take charge of your wellness. CBD helps you with so many things, with anxiety, with depression, with body aches, pains, cancer. It's such a good product. And with Retreat CBD, it's pure. It's super pure. It's like the pure CBD you're going to find. See, you can find CBD at any gas station, but you're not going to find CBD that's pure, that's clean, and it's double processed. So that's what Retreat CBD is. We're working on Gateway now, but I need you to go to retreatcbd.co.uk so you can set up, you know, where you can get your products, you know. That'd be awesome. You should do that. And you can also, Retreat CBD also has a new mug out. It's a pretty cool little mug. You can go to teespring.com/stores/retreatcbd. Get yourself a mug. It's like $15. I know it's probably a little pricey for a mug. I don't know. But to be perfectly honest, you know, it's... awesome. It's nice. It's worth it. Seriously, it's worth it. And you know, you can pretend you're at the Retreat CBD Cafe in Swansea. So yeah, go to re-treatcbd.co.uk to get your CBD products and mycology today. All right. When we get back, Ben Hunter will be on. Thanks, y'all. It is. Welcome, Mr. Ben Hunter. I've already done my intro, so we can pretty much just get right into it. And real quick though, but before we get into any conversations or anything like that, how can people follow you? How can people listen to your music? All that good stuff.
Yeah, great, man. You can hit me on all socials. I'm at B Hunter Official across the board. So yeah, my name's Ben Hunter. I'm an artist from the UK, making conscious rap music, I suppose, and with a little bit of flair. But yeah, it'd be lovely for people to come and check out what I'm doing. And I've actually removed a lot of music from the streaming services today, due to I've just entered a management contract with a label. So we're looking to build. Thank you. Yeah. So there will be one record left up, a record called Hope. Other than that, you'll be able to find all my freestyles and stuff and the video content on all the YouTube and things that will stay there. But
man, that kind of sucks though. I've been crazy. I got the Spotify premium, so I've been listening to a lot of your music. But that's
thank
cool,
you, man.
Congratulations. I'm happy for you, yo. For real.
Thank you.
That's fucking awesome. You've been blowing up over here for real. I've been showing people your music. I've been sharing there's a lot of people, positive response.
That's great, man.
Especially what you rap about. So how long have you been rapping?
So probably writing and taking it seriously for about 5 years. But I used to battle rap, so I used to do like open mics and I'd freestyle and or people in the crowd and stuff like that. That's kind of how it started. I was a resident in Ibiza, which is a little island off Spain in the Balearics, a little party island. Everyone from Europe goes to party there. So, yeah, I used to work out there as a host. And my job was essentially to stag do's and hen do's would come in and they would talk, you know, they'd give me some instructions and I'd pick their friend out of the, or the stag or the hen, and I would just take the piss out of them in front of their friends. That kind of for over freestyle rap beats, you know. That's kind of how it started for me. And then I got back to London after being away and I was like, man, I love doing this, but I don't have any music. And then since that point, I've kind of been producing. I had a EP and stuff out and the bits that you guys would have listened to as well. And all of the videos will stay up. So all of the stuff you've been looking at online, that will all stay up. But as of today, entered something new and we're going to build out the sound a little bit more. But expect a lot more video content from me over the next couple of weeks. Months even, so it's gonna get busy.
Yeah, man, that's great. Yeah, and you know, obviously I think you would consider I'm So UK your hit. Is that right?
Yeah, at the moment that's the one that's popping off, yeah. For real.
So about 5 years you said you've been taking it serious. And how long have you been kind of with the group that you're with now? Because I noticed, you know, it seems to be you do live music as well, maybe record it. You know, at least you have a band from what it looks like. I really don't know too.
Yes. Yeah, so I've always preferred performing when I do a show with a live band. I think it adds to the artistry of it. I think you get a better sound sonically as well. I've got another 5-track EP, which we're working on at the moment. And I recorded it all live over the last couple of weeks with a full band. And we've also filmed the performances of those records as well. Obviously, no one can go to gigs at the moment. So the idea was that we could bring the gig to your front room. And yeah, stay tuned for that because that's coming as well soon.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm buying a ticket to watch that.
Yeah. Well, we've got to be inventive these days, you know, because it's very difficult to try and break yourself anyway as an artist. It's tough. But when you can't go on the road and perform or anything, it's double tough, right? So yeah, just trying to be creative with ideas and give people something to sit and enjoy, you know.
That's awesome, man. I love that feeling too. I love that feeling of you know, that's the true essence of hip-hop. You know, when you take it back in the day, you had, you know, so-called producers. Now they would take samples from other songs, they would break it up and run just a quick 13 second little sample and run it over and over again with another beat, and that's how you got your DJs, you know. And it was all live, it was all done like right there in person. So that's always a good feeling, you know, because that's how I know that you know what hip-hop is, to be perfectly honest. No judgments or anything like that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and that's what I love. I love about, you know, like my favorite Jay-Z album is the live unplugged MTV album.
For real.
Yeah, man.
For real.
The band, you know what I mean? So can you announce what record label that you've been signed to?
So it's a management company. They're called On Vibrant, but they do a lot of work with Island Records in the UK. So we'll be doing the next couple of months is to kind of build a demand for the music. I've kind of been soul releasing and self releasing stuff myself for a long time now. If you want to get a major deal and stuff, you know, these days it's more about the numbers than it is the music itself. So we're looking at ways to build the numbers. And I mean, that's kind of been happening already with the freestyles, with the Fear freestyle, starting to get some viral push on that stuff. So I kind of just want to show people a little bit more of who I am in freestyles and in some video content before I release the album. And I want to make sure the audience is there for that. You know, it's great to have, you know, 20,000-30,000. I think the most hit song I had was about 100,000 on Hope. But we need to now breach the gap between that and the millions, you know. And the way to do that is by, you know, putting up more of the things that people like. And I know that people like my honesty and speaking on current affairs and delivering them something that they're not getting, because, you know, most of the industry are either hid away, not saying anything, or, you know, protecting their best interests. I would say, well, I don't have any interest to protect, so I'm going to say everything I need to say, you know?
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's good. That's the great thing about being independent.
For real.
Pretty much say anything you want. And, you know, with cancel culture now today, It's terrible. You know, you any little word you say automatically gets, you know, you get demonized. And next thing you know, they want to take away all your platforms and do all that. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, we wouldn't have had our, you know, we wouldn't have had Eminem and people like that if we had the same level that we do now, you know, because there were some outrageous things that that guy said. But that's part of life, you know. I don't want to offend anyone because I don't want to upset people, but I also think that people are there to be offended at the moment, you know. They're kind of waiting or looking for things to be offended by, and that excites me as well, because I'm gonna come out swinging. And I think you can't cancel something that isn't bothered about being canceled, you know.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Because there's you'll always find some kind of platform that you can get your word out. Look at
For real.
I mean, shoot, WhatsApp, Telegram, you can do it all on those things now. So it's like, you know, it's not even that big a deal. It's just, you know, what they're doing is just going by their stockholders, you know, pretty much what tells them. And if you have a liberal stockholder, then obviously, you know, you're going to have liberal values. And, you know, the more liberal,
for sure,
you know, that's just how it goes, I guess, you know.
So, yeah.
All right. Tell me about yourself. Give me your little backstory. Where you're from? How old are you? And all that good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I'm from a small countryside town called Barnstable in a little place called Devon, which is on the southwest coast of the UK. I am 30 years old now. I turned 30 in the first lockdown, so I had to do the birthday indoors, which I was mad about because it's a big birthday. But funnily enough, actually, the have you seen the video from So UK?
Yes.
So we filmed that in the gap between lockdowns.
Oh, wow. What about Fear?
And Fear was shot in South Bermondsey. So that was probably, a couple of months back. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was just outside the studio, that one. We just went out and filmed it. That's kind of more of the stuff that you'll be seeing from me. It's more things like Fear. And I think that at the moment we need more open speech about things that are going on. And I know that music is a way to do it without being too preachy, you know.
Yeah, well, that and podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why, like, it's great for me to come and speak and obviously, like, chat to the people who listen to you and stuff as well. So I'm very grateful for you having me on as well, man. But
that's for sure.
What's that, bro?
I said you're doing more of a favor for me than I am for you. That's for sure.
Oh, no sweat, man. Now this is good. I enjoy it. Man, I'm just happy to be talking to somebody. You know, I've been locked away, you know, just working and stuff. So it's good to talk about things I'm interested in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grew up in Devon when I was about 16, 17, and then went over to Cheltenham, which is where I studied at university. I did a music degree. Learned very little about music and learned more about how to party and get girls and all that stuff, you know. So I made the most of my time.
Any kids?
No kids. No. I'm careful, man. I'm known as the pull-out king.
Even rapping, I'm sure.
Exactly, mate. You got to be careful out there, you know. But then after uni, I went out. That's when I went to Ibiza, and that's I did 2 years, two seasons in Ibiza, and then moved to London. So I've been in London for 8 years, and all this recent lockdown. And then the lockdown came, and I broke up with my girlfriend of 5 years because we were locked in the house, and it was just all a bit mad. So it's been another one of those. But I'm back in Devon at the moment, but we'll be heading back to London the second that the restrictions are lifted and I can get back to business.
Gotcha. I guess they must be pretty strict over there then.
At the moment, man, it is.
I gotcha. Yeah, over here, I mean, in Virginia, I can't speak for any other states. It's pretty free. Businesses can't have over 25 people, and most of the businesses have mask mandates. I'm starting to second think this mask mandate. You know, with days of social media and everything is being recorded, everybody has a phone, there's cameras everywhere. I'm almost thinking like a mask would almost be helpful towards keeping your identity, you know, private in a way. That would be the only argument I would have for a mask. You know, have you ever seen Watchmen on HBO or anything?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. On the show on HBO, it was a law that when you're out in public, you had to wear a mask. And if you were asked to pull the mask down, you know, that was also against the law. So, I mean, I think in today's society and the way things are now, everything's, especially during the lockdown, everything's online. Not that they can't find your identity, I guess. But, you know, that would be the only argument I would have for a mask, because we obviously know that it's not working for, you know, quote unquote, COVID.
Yeah, it's really scary, because even where I am, so I'm in a very small part of the country in the UK, and I walked into town today just to get a coffee and to chill out. And you see people walking down the streets, and we're in this big open space, you know, and you see them walking around with these visors and the mask on and a visor, and you just think, if they can say anything on the news, if they said that you can you can't get COVID if you hop on one leg, you would see people hopping around the town, bro. You would.
Yeah,
you would.
That's
the scary thing. You'd see people hopping. Because it's got to that point now, and it's just like, yeah, I'm really like worried about that as more than I am about anything else. It's just that it only takes a news story to completely, no one questions anything, and if you do question the narrative, then you're a crazy person, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. It fucking sucks, man. You can't have a differing opinion anymore. It sucks, you know. Now, I don't know what the laws are there, but I know, like, in Canada, hate speech is actually a criminal offense. You know, here, you can pretty much say anything you want as long as it's not slanderous, where you can be sued.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, like, you can't be ticketed for saying the N-word. You can't be ticketed for saying, you know, a word that basically anybody could say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for real, for sure. And I think that's how things should be, man. Otherwise, we are in, we're in a technocracy anyway, because the tech companies are quite clearly in control of the narrative of everything these days. But we're also democracy doesn't exist anymore, you know, because you are being told how you can think and feel. And I think they're, you know, looking at introducing mandatory vaccine for passports, you know, to enter countries and stuff. And that's when we really have entered a whole different realm, because you're telling me what I have to put in my body to travel. Who made the world yours?
Exactly.
I can't go to another country. Who made it your decision to make that, you know? And yeah, that's where it's worrying for me now, because we're getting close to that, and people said it would never get there, but it is getting there.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And then if next thing you know, you'll be put on the no-fly list or something, that if you don't want to take the vaccine
or
enter a store unless you're vaccinated.
Yeah,
get in a taxi or something. You know what I mean? It's definitely government overreach. It's basically just killing our rights. You know, see, I have a different perspective because I'm here. I don't know exactly how it is there. You know how strict it is, but you know, it's almost like, yeah, you can say whatever the fuck you want, but. And nothing really gonna fucking happen to you unless you know they come to your house or something.
Yeah,
because everybody's a quote unquote telephone tough guy, where
you
know what I mean, you say what you want, you control and you know say hateful things online, knowing that there's not gonna be any consequences. But
yeah,
that's dangerous, because then there's no there's no self control. Like, you don't want to be a dickhead.
Yeah, we need to bring back people getting punched in the face for saying mad shit, bro.
Thank you.
We really do, because it doesn't it obviously in the time, it's not, violence is never good, I probably shouldn't say that, but yeah, we do need some sort of, people do need to not be able to get away with how they behave online and stuff. And I think we're at a really like critical turning point for everything. because it feels like everything is kind of splitting and going its own way. And there's these new factions of people that are finding each other. And it's very polarized, obviously. You're either for or against, you're either in or out. You can't just have a little bit of both anymore, you know? My hope is that, you know, I believe in humans. I do believe in people. So I do believe that we'll find a way out of this that won't be too catastrophic. But I do think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And that's why there's so many quote-unquote riots and protests and stuff like that going on. You have here, you know, you have, well, there, it's y'all against the government. Here, it's against each other. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you know, I think governments and, well, I'd like to blame the media for that, first off, just because, you know, media doesn't give a shit about anyone else's opinions. They're just worried about clicks, clickbait. You know, they'll put up a headline for you to click on it to check their articles out and shit like that. So it's not really news anymore. It's not journalism.
No.
Nobody gives a shit about the news if, you know, if it's just local.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here in the United States, it's set up where, you know, each state kind of has, it's supposed to be run like its own country. The federal, at the federal level, they're basically only supposed to protect our borders. Basically, that's it.
Yeah.
But that seems to have been, you know, construed here in the past probably 20 years. So, you know, I believe that we should be able to control our own communities and just stop bringing everything such at a high level and expecting everybody else to conform to your way of thinking, especially if you're like from a small town. You're not going to think the same way as somebody from like a big town like LA or London. You know what I mean?
From a city, yeah. Completely different. Absolutely. I've lived in both and it is completely different. The whole way of life's different.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this whole global society of where we're all the same, that's dangerous, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Because the beauty of life is that nobody's the same.
Exactly. We're complicated.
Yeah. And that, like, I could go somewhere and think one way, and then someone could change my mind, you know? I could say, I don't agree with X, Y, Z, go to that place and meet somebody, and they say, well, actually, have you thought about these things? And I could go, oh shit, you're right, you know. And now I've learned about somewhere else. And whereas if we don't encourage that kind of fusion, then it's one or the other. How boring is that? Like, what type of world is that? Like,
exactly. You ever seen Equilibrium?
No, I don't think I've seen that one. No,
it's with Christian Bale, and it's about a society, quote unquote, with no war. And what they've done is they inject their citizens with this chemical that controls their emotions. So they don't have any feelings. They don't feel, you know, like crying. They don't feel hate. They don't feel, you know, loss. None of that. You know what I mean?
They're just flat.
Flat. Yeah. And it just kind of shows how one person is in power, controlling all these people. Come to find out that the person in power is not really who we thought he was, and all this other kind of stuff. And it's reminiscent a little bit of 1984, if you've ever seen that.
Yeah, George Orwell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what can we expect from you in the next 5 years? Your five-year plan.
Five-year plan. Do you know what? I was hoping... Because I've just had another argument with a new girl that I've just met about my 5-year plan, not including her. So I was hoping I wouldn't hear the word 5-year plan again, but it's all good.
Sorry.
It's all right. This time around, she's not, well, she might be listening, but the 5 years still doesn't include her. I am. So this year is all about building the audience for the album. So I've been working, I've got about 50 tracks back. You know, we've been working really hard, done a lot of writing. I've been focusing in on the sound of how I want it to sound sonically, and obviously the message and how I want to come out as an artist anyway. It's a lot about the growth and development at this stage. Like, I realized that when I first got into music, it was very different reasons than for what I do it for now. So I'm just, focusing on making sure that I can deliver over the next year, lots of content relevant, like a social commentator almost. So if you imagine, I'm going to look at current affairs, look at what's going on, and then I'm going to write records about the current moment and release them instantly with a video to support it, similar to Fear. So you can expect one of those a week each month, probably for the next 3 months.
Nice.
Off the back of that, I'm hoping that that will have, people will then understand who I am. They'll watch and, each week they'll tune in to watch the freestyles and it'll become part of something that they enjoy to do or that they go back to check my page for. And then once I have that, it'll be a case of then slowly drip feeding the music. I think the plan will be to go to labels then to say, look, here's these 50 records. He's built this audience here. I've been working very hard at it. So, yeah. Once that's achieved, we'll then start dropping the actual music that I've, sat on and that I'm working on now. I'd love to put it out tomorrow because it's great and I love it, but there needs to be an audience there before it comes. So we're in that phase kind of at the moment of getting to know, what people like from Ben Hunter and also for me, like how I want to come out and what I want to be for people, I think my 5-year plan goes from that point to headlining festivals across the UK, to headlining Glastonbury, which is a huge festival over here and something I've always had my eyes and my heart on, and then to come out and do some international work. So I'd like to come and give you guys a visit and come and show you how we rock around this side as well, So, yeah, that's the plan.
Damn right. So it's like almost you're building a marketing plan, if you will.
Yeah, in some respects, because you kind of expect like, you when you first start off, you're just writing and you're kind of expecting to put stuff out and hoping, whereas now it's a bit more of a thought about plan, a bit more of okay, well, this is what we're good at, this is what people enjoy, so let's flood the market with that to begin with, and then we'll bring them around to my story afterwards, but let's at the moment this is what people are enjoying, so let's focus on that.
Hell yeah, it's fire too. So what are some of your influences in hip hop?
Cool, we could go all the way back. Obviously M's a huge influence. I remember doing my paper round and walking up and down the street blasting the album. I think I must have bought the Marshall Mathers and the Slim Shady LP about 5 times because mum kept taking it. She said, you can't play that in the house. So that was huge. I think, captured an entire generation of people that were, feeling in a similar light, I suppose, a similar vein. If it goes slightly further back than that, they always get brought up, obviously Tupac and Biggie. I feel like we miss that. I feel like we miss like the honest authenticity in the artistry these days. And it's more based around the materialistic sides of life rather than the societal side of life. So I'm trying to
I blame Puff Daddy for that.
Yeah, glammed it up a bit too much. I know, yeah. He's still doing it now. Still trying to do that to it, yeah. But I miss that rawness, I miss the rawness of those records. Even when you listen to stuff. I mean J. Cole gave it for a couple of years and obviously Kendrick's managed to do it from his side and his community. But I feel like there's they did it on a world level rather than a country or a state level. They did it on a world level. So, yeah, those guys are massive to me. And then I'm big into Frank Sinatra and some of the UK grime scene. I don't know how familiar you are with UK artists and stuff, but
there's a gentleman by the name of A. Charles. He sent me his music. And I did play some of it a couple weeks ago, I think, on the podcast. So. Shout out to him. I don't know if you know who he is. I can
big up A. Charles. No, man, I've not heard before, but big him up. Man. UK guy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's from London. I can definitely send you his info or whatever. He's like an R&B artist. You know what I mean? So he sings. And might be a good little match.
Yeah, for real, man. No, I'm down, man. Yeah, put him across to me, man. That's always good. I love to collab with people all over. So yeah, that's good, man.
Hell yeah, man. So hip hop, Biggie, Tupac, you said, How old? You said you're 30. So what's
I'm
that?
I'm 30.
Okay.
1990. Yeah.
Okay. 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 That's that to me personally. That's my favorite time of hip hop, from 90 to about 99, 98, and then once like Hot Boys and Puff Daddy with the shiny suits and all that, it just started to die down for me.
Yeah.
You know,
to where it is now.
Where it is now. Yeah, tell me about it. If you can find some artists, like, I don't know if you ever heard of Griselda Records
or Benny the Butcher.
Hell yeah, Benny the Butcher.
Yeah, Benny's the man, bro.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, you really got to search. You really got to find it. There's really some good artists out there that do have good music.
And, yeah. You know, I used to like Vinnie Paz and those guys as well. Yeah. You know, big on those guys.
38 Special.
Yeah, yeah. There's some special artists, actually. Like you said, you do need to search them, but it's a shame, isn't it? But I suppose that. But then in the same light, like they're special because they are doing what they're doing and they are off in their own lane, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And they're all independent. You know, that's where we have to be nowadays. If you want to be signed to an art or to a label or anything like that, you know, they get the ultimate say of what gets released, what gets said, basically. You know, here, I mean, I don't, you can always, you know, leak it. You know, put it on a mixtape, like on Datpiff or something like that. You ever thought about doing something like that? Like with the stuff that, maybe not make the album or, you know, something like that.
For sure. Yeah. I think at the, like for me at the moment, like I've got to this point now, I'm 30 now. So if I want to achieve what I want to achieve in the next 5 years, I have to look at this route of, okay, like if I have creative control, I'm working with a management company. So it's not like they're telling me you have to write pop songs, or he's just come to me. We see where you're going. We think that it's great, but we could also have the connections that can make this a lot better for you, you know? So I have to look at this as an option. And it is something that, like, if I had the right partner, within a label or with anyone, with a management company, then they're going to open the doors that need to be opened in order for me to come through. And then once I'm through and at the other side, you know, I can do what the hell I want if I'm clever. Cool. So I'm going to, I'll probably set up a label, a business in my name, and I'll try and get them to sign the label once I get to that point. And release on my label. That's my plan.
8 Blocks Entertainment, bro. No, I'm just kidding.
8 Blocks, baby.
That's awesome, man. So, you know, we get into psychedelics, if you don't mind.
Yes.
I've done acid once and I've done mushrooms once.
Okay.
Both times, I really didn't hallucinate, but it was fun. I will say that. So I've never really taken enough to trip, and it's been over.
Yeah.
Years. Last time I did it, I was probably like, it was like 98, 99.
So okay,
So I'm a little hesitant to get on it and do it. But you know, I missed the interview that you, or the chat that you had with Aid on Instagram. And it did mention that microdose or do you?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I thought you, for some reason, hero dose came in my head. Like, is it zero doses?
Aiden's kind of put me off with some of his stories. Oh, good. Yeah, I spoke to him. I was like, whoa, I got to be careful here.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got some stories, doesn't he? So for yourself, well, what made you, you know, get into it?
I think over the years, you kind of explore, well, I suppose across the range, like let's be open about it. I've explored lots of different drugs and experiences, and obviously, like, the ones that normally come up within, I suppose within the UK anyway, I don't know if it's the same in the States, but normally it's coke and pills and Mandy and things like that, like party drugs, you know, which all good and well, but overly not very good for you. It can be a bit debilitating, can't, you know. So I had my years of enjoyment on those when I was in IB for doing stuff, but kind of got drawn into the mushrooms by, I watch a lot of podcasts myself, and I was listening to guys like Aubrey Marcus and Joe Rogan, and people along those lines that are like kind of in the same light as me. I train hard, I box, so I'm kind of into the, my fitness and health, but at the same time still, yeah, like to explore these areas, you know, and to see what it's all about.
Let's show your boxing skills. I don't know, man. I think I could take you. Nah, let me stop. Never boxed.
Hey, we can do it, bro. If I come to the States, we can do it. We can set it up on the podcast.
Fuck it. We'll just do it.
In the garden, yeah.
Yeah,
good,
hell yeah. My backyard is big enough. It's big enough.
Backyard brawls, yeah.
That's it, man. That's it.
Yeah, so I think from like listening to those guys and the experience they had, and I've had some pretty traumatic experiences and stressful things in my life, and one of the things that the microdosing specifically was to alleviate, you know, depression, anxiety, stresses, and everyday stresses of life, I suppose. So I was kind of drawn to it. I thought, you know, it can't hurt to try. Started off doing 300 milligrams of dried Cubensis daily, and I've switched now. I do it sporadically now, so maybe once, twice a week. But at the start, did it daily, and then as I did it, to begin with, I realized how all over the place my life was, which was kind of the start of lockdown, and then everything around me had to change. But I don't think I would have been conscious enough to have made those changes. I went to therapy, and I've been going back over my life and kind of dealing with past traumas and things like that. And I don't think I would have been that conscious and that aware of myself if I hadn't have done the mushrooms and experienced like that. So it's been life changing. It's not easy, and it's not something that I would say to anybody, yeah, go and do it, without doing your own research and without knowing the reason for it. But there's a lot to be learned from plants, and there's a lot that I still want to learn. I don't know yet. But I'm at early stages of my journey with it, and I do want to go on to do ayahuasca ceremony at some point. And yeah, there's a lot to learn from them, but I'm still in early doors, so I wouldn't want to give anybody too much advice, but it has been very helpful. It's been very beneficial for me.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And that's good to hear too. 'Cause like, as much as I hesitate, I know that there's benefits to it. Like, I don't know if you know any of my story at all, or if Aid told you anything.
Bits and bobs, yeah. But yeah, please do enlighten me, man.
I was born with petite mal seizures. So basically, I would have these blackouts. I can sit here and have a conversation with you and completely blackout and not remember a thing. And it would go on for 10, 15 seconds, maybe 20, you know what I mean? For a while, you know. And growing up, I took some pills for it, and it's a prepubescent epilepsy.
Okay.
So once I got into puberty, you know, it basically, you know, I outgrew it. But I think between having the petite mal seizures, my parents divorcing, and coming into a new state with a new culture and everything like that, it definitely did something to me.
Yeah, for real.
And you know, I joined the military. That didn't help.
No way. That doesn't help anyone.
For sure. So you know, and suffering in my 20s, man, all of my 20s, early 30s, man, it was just suffering through depression, anxiety, and, you know, just kind of being lost. You know,
yeah.
I always wanted to be like a parent. I always, you know, growing up, I always wanted to be a father. I always wanted to be better than the father that I had. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
so,
I share
that like, with you. You know, now, I think now I've matured a little more. My wife probably wouldn't agree, but I'm matured a little more, and now it's just like, you know, since I've had epilepsy, and the science from you know, psilocybin, cubensis, if it's that profound, if it's shows like what it shows, it carves new brain pathways.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's what I need, just a change of perspective. Basically.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, man. So
I would, yeah, if that's the way you're thinking, then you can do that, you know, and it will, but I would do it alongside talk therapy and like EMDR or one of those type of things, you know, because you need to like, you have to, but the way it's done has made me very like, I was with a girl for 5 years that I thought I was going to marry, thought I was, you know, and I started, as this started to happen, I started to look and think, oh my God, I'm being abused here. This person's real nasty all the time. And I've just been like putting myself down and I've like beat myself into submission for so long.
Yeah.
And so it made me really have a cold heart look. And then it was horrible, bro. I'm not going to lie. It was very painful. I had to change everything. But and I'm still now like kind of all over the place. I don't know what the next thing is, but it's definitely been helpful. I'm starting to feel like, I don't know. I don't suppose you ever know yourself, because that's something that you make up in your mind as well, isn't it? But I'm starting to feel more comfortable in just in general, which can only be a good thing.
Sure. Yeah, I agree, man. I agree. And I think that's one of the most important things that we need to do is self-discovery. Because, you know, when we have the, you know, when we're forcing people to abide by, you know, what we think is right, obviously, that's not the best plan.
No, of course not. Yeah. You have to be the master of your own kingdom, you know, and like nobody else's. And like, that's a big thing for me now, is to be in control. I can control the controllables and everything else. I don't worry about anymore.
Fucking right, man. I like that shit. I like that shit. And you do, you know, you do so well. You got bars, man. You got bars. That's all I can say, man. I had to share it on my story, too. I was like, yo, if you don't know, now you know. This got bars.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. Great. I'm glad I've connected with someone from the other side, of from over the water as well, because that's a tough thing for UK artists to come and to connect in America as well, which is something I do intend on doing. So that's a good sign. That makes me happy.
Hell yeah, man. Now, hooking up with Aid, has any doors opened up for you?
Yeah, he's great. So he sent me, I've actually got some of the stuff he sent me here. He sent me some Lion's Mane. He sent me some of his products from Retreat, which is a little bit of a plug for Aid here, but Aid runs a CBD company called Retreat CBD, at Retreat CBD on all the socials. But I was having trouble sleeping till quite recently. Still been having the odd night where I don't sleep at all. But he sent me some bits, and yeah, they've been amazing. So that's been really helpful. So I'm very grateful to Aiden for that, to helping me sleep a little. And he's planning a live music event in Wales as well, which I'm going to go down and perform at, which will be dope.
Oh man, I wish I could go to that.
yeah, I think it's going to be cool, man. So I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, he's kind of just he's there if I need to ask him any questions more about like the, you know, like the psychedelic side of stuff, or just to ask advice on his experiences on things, really.
Like you brought up the point earlier about therapy and EMDR. I just go to Aid.
yeah, I know. Yeah, he's a wealth of experience, isn't he, that guy? Yeah,
for sure, man. Hey man, you know, I don't want to take too much of your time. It's almost been an hour, so that's awesome.
That's so good, man. It's cool, man. It's nice to chat to you and stuff. And yeah, I'm just grateful to have someone who wants to speak, you know.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
Hell yeah, man. You know, when I see someone, because all right, you got the look, you got the bars, you got the beats, you got the swag. You don't need nothing else. You feel me?
We're getting there now. Yeah, it's been 15 years of hard building, I suppose, really. But we're getting there, and I do feel like soon it's just going to, everything's going to click in place. I feel like I'm making the space for that to happen now in my life. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's coming, and I will not forget the people who said that to me at the start, you know, because it means a lot. Definitely does mean a lot to me.
And thank you to them, too, because we wouldn't be doing this podcast right now, probably.
For real. So what's your plans for the next couple of months then, brother? What's the world look like for you at the moment?
Yeah, I really can't say a whole lot. Just know that it has a lot to do with Aid. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't
Fantastic.
Really. I don't want to record it. I could definitely do it off camera, you know, no problem.
Yeah. Okay. No sweat.
The secret until it's actually done. You know
well, I'm sure I will have some sort of connection with you on
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You coming over.
Yeah. I'm coming. Yeah. Amazing. Get me over there. I'm ready to go.
I'm only 40 minutes away from Washington, D.C. So it's like, you know, if you want to come here, you know, we get out of the city and we can go right back into the city, go watch, go chill, go sightseeing and tours. And if you
want, I'd love that, man. I'd love that. I do actually come over because we got one of our offices in Belmont. Our head office is in Belmont. And we've got an office in Colorado as well. And I come over to go shark fishing Captiva.
Hey, nice.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. That's my spot. Love it down there. So, like, next time I come across, man, Holly, I'm planning to come probably like September. I'm going to stay in Miami for a few days if hopefully, God willing, everything's, you know, ready to go again. But yeah, I could come over and pay you a little visit, man. Why not, man? That'd be cool.
Right, man. That'd be fun as hell.
As long as your wife doesn't say, no, who's this strange man from London who's in the shed?
yeah, right. Exactly. I know, Cody, you can't come into the house. She has said that to people. Sorry, you can't come in. y'all got to go back to the shed. All right, honey.
Okay, honey.
Be right back. But for you, I don't think she'll do that.
That's dope, man.
Oh, have you... I did want to, I guess, well, you got a deal, but prior to the deal, did you make any money off of your music digitally?
Peanuts, if I'm honest, yeah. For the amount I've put into it, I mean, I've invested thousands, tens of thousands into music, into production videos, everything, yeah. So, and probably made, I don't know, maybe $2,000-$3,000 back. But at the moment, yeah, I mean, the focus... You have to build something, you know. I don't really focus on that. The money will come once I add enough value to people's lives. The money will come anyway, you know.
That's
so
true.
So I think I'm at that point now. With the guys that we're working with, I have a lot of confidence in their plan of attack and how to build it. And up is the only way I'm going now. So yeah, it's been worth it even for that. And do you know what? It's also the amount of money that you put into something, the amount of enjoyment and time I've had from it. You can't put a price on that. It keeps me alive, you know. Otherwise I'd just be doing my desk job, you know, kind of hopping from one thing to the next, not really having any purpose. I get up every day with purpose, you know. Yeah. And purpose is what will keep you happy and keep anxiety and depression at bay. If you're just kind of knocking through life, not really knowing where you're going, then that's when the problems start, you know.
That's a great point, man. Thanks for coming in here and doing this.
Oh, man, thank you. It's been great. I'm sorry I was a little bit late. Obviously, I was doing my 9-to-6 job then, so I was a little bit late. But
hey, man, we all, yeah. Man, no worries, man. Like, for me, podcasting is what I do for fun. I myself have invested not tens of thousands, but, you know, a little under.
Yeah.
And, you know, time, effort, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, regardless if I have, I just got my first patron after a year. So, you know.
Hey, congratulations, man. That's buzzing.
Thank you.
Happy days.
From Scotland.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Good man.
Damn.
The Scottish, are happy to provide. So that's good, man. We like to hear that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that, but that's great to hear. So, you know, it's just like all about the grind, man. All about the grind. Like, I wouldn't imagine myself here a year ago. I've only been podcasting for a year, you know, and, you know, every step of the way you learn something and every step of the way you change something that you did wrong. You know what I mean? You learn from your mistakes. So, you know, and I'm glad that you're finding a space now where not only can you be independent, but you can say what you want, man. And I can't wait to hear what you're going to have coming out in the future, man. It's going to be awesome, bro.
Yeah, there's some, I'm promised, like, for everyone that's listening, we've got some severe heat in this locker at the moment. And when it comes out, just be there ready to go, because I've been sitting on treasure, and I'm excited. I've been working so hard to bring it out. So yeah, once that gets up and running, you won't be disappointed. I can promise you that.
Hell yeah. Ready or not, Here he comes.
Here he comes. Hey. That's also one of my favorites. I actually did a freestyle over that. You guys go and check that out. Yeah. Ben Hunter, Ready or Not on YouTube. Go and have a listen to that. But yeah, man. Thank you again so much for having me, bro. And yeah, it's been great. And for anyone who's listening, at B Hunter Official on all the socials, go and add me up. Drop me a DM. I always reply if I can get to it. So I'll always make sure I come back to you at some point.